Hi everyone, and welcome to my climate podcast. Today we're going to talk about who is the actual leader in climate politics. When I say that the European Union is the political climate leader, I think nobody's getting shocked. But is that true, or do we have to be more critical of this statement? To tackle today's topic, is the European Union the leader in climate politics? I have invited 5 experts to discuss it here with me. So welcome, Emma, Orla, Carlotta, Harris, and Adam. Orla and Carlotta, you all agree that EU is the political leader in climate. Can you please tell me why?
I agree that the EU is a great political leader to combat climate change. The EU, together with its member states, is the biggest provider for climate finance in the world, as it provides support to developing countries to tackle the effects of climate change. The EU has many initiatives to battle against climate change and to promote environmental sustainability, including one of the most recent actions the EU took was the COP28, which took place just last year, which aims to phase out fossil fuels to achieve a net zero by 2050. The EU also promotes the use of renewable energy, where 22.5% of energy consumed in the EU in 2022 was generated from renewable energy, which plays a vital role in Europe's availability to achieve climate neutral by 2050. Generating renewable energy creates lower emissions than burning fossil fuels. Another approach by the EU to tackle climate change is the Paris Agreement, which aims to support the global response to the threat of climate change by keeping the global temperature rise well below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, and to promote efforts to limit the temperature's increase even further to 1.5 degrees Celsius.
Well, I agree with my colleague and brought with me actual measures that the EU is taking at the moment to achieve all the goals it proposed. Starting with the control on the emissions caused by industry. For that, companies are obliged to hold a permit for each ton of CO2 they emit and incentives to boost innovation in the sector. In April 2023, reforms were agreed that will cut emissions by 62% by 2030 from 2005 levels. In April 2023, the transportation emissions were discussed. Civil aviation accounts for 13.4% of the total emissions of CO2 from EU transport. To tackle this problem, the EU wants the suppliers of fuel to start delivering sustainable fuel by 2025, and with that achieve 70% use of sustainable fuel in all airports in the EU by 2050. Also, cars will have a considerate reduction of emissions supported by the fact that from 2035, all new cars entering the European market will have zero CO2 emissions. The energy sector is also a major problem, or the major problem itself. It is responsible for more than 3/4 of the EU greenhouse gas emissions, which means that it is a key factor in order to fight the climate change in Europe. The initial goal is to reduce the energy consumption by 11.7% by 2030 at the EU level. Renewable energy will also help the sector. Currently, 20% of all energy consumed in the EU already comes from renewable sources, but the EU wants more. And by 2030, the share of renewables should achieve a reduction of 42.5%.
Thank you. Harris and Adam, you two are more critical of this, right? Can you please tell me why?
Yes, first of all, I want to say that I agree with what you have already said. However, the path toward this objective is far from straightforward, particularly due to the diverse energy landscapes across member states. One of the primary challenges the EU grapples with is the varying commitment levels. While some nations within the EU have been proactive in embracing renewable energy and aligning with the carbon neutral vision, others are behind, still heavily reliant on fossil fuels. This diversity in commitment levels poses a significant hurdle in achieving a united front in the fight against climate change. This difference will have a big impact on the economy. Shifting away from fossil fuel industry is a complex process that requires careful planning to lessen negative effects on local economies and employment markets. Some member states are deeply rooted in historical economic structures that heavily rely on fossil fuels, presenting a challenge to the rapid adoption of cleaner alternatives. Yet, it is crucial to acknowledge that the EU is not blind to these challenges. The region understands the urgency of investments in research and development and economic development in these states.
Yeah, I mean, I see some problems with the EU being the world leading organization in this subject. I'm not saying you guys are wrong, of course not, but I have some concerns. We can, for example, see that EU efforts alone may not have a significant impact on the global climate change, as emissions from other major countries, I think in China, I think in the United States, and I think in India, plays a crucial role as well. Without strong global cooperation, the actions of the EU alone will not be enough to address the scale of this problem. This problem is too big for the EU alone to do something. Cooperation is very important. I can also see some economic concerns. For example, that strict climate policies in the EU could lead to economic challenges, including job losses in industries affected by the regulations. These concerns may lead to an unwillingness among other nations to adopt similar policies, especially if they lead to negative economic consequences. This would be a big problem if it happened.
Thank you. Do some of you have anything more to add to this debate?
Yes, I do. I do agree with my colleagues' opinions, and building on their arguments and our general overview is that the EU is a leader in tackling climate change. First of all, I think it's essential to achieve European climate sovereignty, which is crucial for advancing the climate agenda aligned with European interests and values, and plays a pivotal role in safeguarding the entire EU in a competitive global climate landscape. So, the success of the European Green Deal relies heavily on intra-EU collaborations, preventing national politics from diluting climate ambitions. While the responsibility for implementation primarily lies with federal governments, navigating domestic politics and policies takes precedence, especially amid the upcoming intense election period. Policymakers must tailor their argument for the European Green Deal to each member state's unique context. Secondly, I wanted to take on Adam's take. Under experimental leadership, the focus shifts to internal policies, encompassing target setting, legislative frameworks, and resulting greenhouse gas emissions. This domestic climate policy not only bolsters international credibility, but also catalyzes inspiring global actors to adopt similar measures for policy learning and diffusion. Additionally, it can lead to incentives for others to adapt by seeking market access through regulatory alignments, embodying aspects of ideal typical structured leadership, and collectively constituting the potential for an effective exemplary leadership.
Okay, thank you guys for taking the time to speak on this podcast. I would also like to thank all who have been listening to this podcast, and I hope it brought you some more knowledge on this topic. Thank you.
Thank you.